Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, October 12, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today my guest is new author Wayne A. Bibbs, whose book Catalyst has quite an interesting theme to it. And we'll hear from Wayne A. Bibbs about Catalyst right after this quick break.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network Radio Show, hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Nobles on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.MichiganLiteraryNetwork.com.
And you're tuned in to Michigan Literary Network Radio for October 12, 2016. My guest today is new author Wayne A. Bibbs, whose novel Catalyst is about Mark Layton, who had two things that every man would envy: the unconditional love of his beautiful wife and family, and the power to induce instant weight loss. Mark learns, however, that there are emotional and physical demands that come with that kind of power, and those demands threaten the stability of his family. And here's a little bit about Detroiter Wayne A. Bibbs. He discovered at an early age how critical people can be. Described as a very intelligent, kind-hearted, and respectful child, Wayne noticed that the first and often only thing people noticed about him was his girth. The lesson Wayne learned in his youth is the lesson he attempts to share in his book Catalyst, and I want to welcome Wayne A. Bibbs to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
You are so welcome. So, Wayne, let's talk about the premise of the book, the power that Mark Layton has to induce instant weight loss. Where did that come from?
Well, I guess the main source of my motivation for this was, as you were telling the listeners, as a child, I was very overweight. And I was the butt, no pun intended, of all sorts of fat jokes. I came up in the early 60s and 70s, and there were, if you remember this, but there were toys that came out about that time. They were called Weebles, and you remember Weebles? Weebles had a very catchy
Weebles.
Little slogan. Yeah. Had
yep.
a catchy little
Weebles
slogan.
Wobble,
Weebles
but wobble,
but
fall
they
don't fall down.
Exactly. And so that became kind of a nickname for me, and I can't tell you how much I hated that. And it was even worse a little bit later on when the cartoon Fat Albert came out. I sort of graduated from Weeble to Fat Albert. And you start, you know, when you're a child and you don't have the respect of your friends, you know, you're always being teased horribly.
Mm-hmm.
You start thinking about, well, what would happen if I could do away with that, if I could get away from all of this, the making fun and the teasing, and it was endless at that time. And over the years, I just kept, you know, I thought about that. And as an adult, I was, you know, I remained pretty heavy for quite some time. And you start thinking about all the things that you would like to change in your life, things that you'd like to do better, things that you would just like to have work out a little better. And one of the things was that I wished that I had never been teased quite so much. So I thought, what if I could change that? And I started thinking mm-hmm. about what if I could make myself instantly slim and everyone would treat me with more respect. And then I thought about, well, if I could make myself instantly slim, what would I do with it? And
mm-hmm.
that actually started leading to the formation of the story. And it took quite a while to write the story. I mean, this took the better part of 30 years. I just kept writing it and starting over it because, you know, most writers, they read something and say, this is trash, throw it away. It was actually a pretty good story, but I was never really satisfied with it, and I kept changing it, starting over again. But all of that led to Catalyst.
Okay. Wow. What an evolution that you're talking about. So one thing that you said is that within those 30 years, you were never really satisfied with the output of your writing of the book about this particular premise of instantaneously being able to induce weight loss. So what was it that finally got you satisfied where you were to the point where you felt like, okay, this is ready to be released for public consumption?
Well, you know, the strange thing about that is I didn't actually reach that point. And I should point out that I started writing this just because I've always loved to write. It's just something I did as a hobby, never meaning to publish it or anything. Just I wrote for my own entertainment. And as a child, wrote for my mother's entertainment. You know, she seemed to like the stories that I came up with. I was a pretty inventive little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of this story being published, that happened because I let my wife read what I had written. And she was giving me her input, and she said, this is good. This is really good. You should keep going. I said, all right. It started out as a short story. And so I said, okay, well, she's being entertained by it. I'll write a little more, and I did. I wrote a few more pages, and she was still enthused. What I didn't know was that she had taken a few pages and contacted a literary agent. And she got, she's actually the reason that this happened. And she contacted the agent. The agent gave her feedback. And without telling me, she came back and said, Wayne, I think you should keep writing. You should keep going. See where this leads you, you know. See what you can do with it. And so I did, and the smiles got bigger on her end. And every so often I'd write something that she wasn't particularly crazy about. She said, I think we can do better than this part. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'll take it back and change that a little more. And I said, well, what do you think of this? Now we're on the right track. And, you know, I kept going. And when I showed her my last draft of it, she said, wow, this is really good. And I didn't think anything else about it until until we later heard this is really, you know, this is good, and we should go ahead and publish this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how that came about. It was never a matter of me being necessarily satisfied. It was
okay.
A matter of my wife being satisfied, and as every married man out there knows, that's generally when things happen, at least the good things. So if the wife is happy, you go with it.
Right. So once she said, you know, let's go on and publish it, she already had the publisher under her belt for you through the literary agent?
Well, we started, we got some suggestions on who to go with, and we did. And
mm-hmm.
all I can tell you is when we finally got it published and we had the first copy of the book in our hands,
mm-hmm.
that was a magic moment when I opened the package. The book was there, and I showed it to her, and she just started crying. And it was really a touching moment for me, and I still get a little teary. I don't tell people that, you know, I'm a guy, but I still get a little teary, with that, because she was so instrumental in the publishing of the book, and the only thing that I really regretted was that both my mother and her mother were no longer here. I would like to have been able to do this when they were around, so that, you know, they too love reading, and I wanted to be able to share this with them. And by the way, for anyone who's listening, who's toying with the idea of writing a story, but they're afraid it's not good enough, so they tend to put it in a drawer and forget about it, don't do that. Take a look. See what you've got there. See if there's any interest in what you're doing. Don't be afraid to share what you've worked on, you know, so hard and for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and publish it. Right? You know, go ahead and submit it. Just don't be, that's my big thing with publishing a book, with writing a story. Don't be afraid.
Wow. Thank you for that.
You never know who's going
to
enjoy it.
That's right. That is so true. And what a wonderful influence and encouragement you had from your wife, who stood by you, and she kept prompting you and basically egging you on, probably at the literary agent's behest, right?
You are largely, there was a mixture of the literary agent and her own sense of it. I've come to learn that when she makes a suggestion like that, it pays to listen. That's why I call her the warden.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Yeah. And so how long have you and the warden been married?
Okay. we've been together a very long time. Another thing that married men know, when you are married, you don't give away information that leads to a suggestion of age.
Right.
But let me just say, it's been a long time, so long, in fact, that it's difficult to remember a time when she wasn't there.
I certainly
wasn't as happy before she showed up, so I'm just I'm glad she's here, but we met not too long after high school.
Okay.
And that's a pretty distant memory, so we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Understood. Thank you for that. And so Wayne, your bio reads though that there were some lessons you learned in your youth that you wove into Catalyst. What were some of those lessons that show up in your book, and how do they show up?
Okay. First thing, as I said, being a very heavy child, the first thing I learned is that while people may say that they appreciate They appreciate you for being a polite, for being an intelligent, well-mannered, all of the quote-unquote good qualities that, that people are supposed to appreciate. Often they can't get beyond the physical. Just to give you an example of what we're discussing, when I was just about to enter high school, I weighed roughly 265 pounds. And I was, 12, 13 years old, and maybe 5 foot one. So I was a little ball. And I thought, well, people will like me. I've got a good sense of humor. I'm friendly. I'm, you know, fairly smart. People will like me. All they noticed was that I was fat. And that's all they cared about. And the whole thing about the attention of girls, that was just something that I'd heard about, because I had no attention from them. It was almost like taboo to be seen talking to me. You know, it would ruin their reputation. And that was a pretty painful experience. I mean, for the entire time that I was in high school, and I was, as I said, really heavy. I got taller, but I was still, you know, I was still pretty heavy. My father tried to help me out with this, because he hated to see me and walking around all the time with, you know, perpetually hurt feelings. And he told me, look, son, it doesn't matter so much to people the kind of person you are. So it has to matter to you. You have to be more concerned about the kind of person you are and the kind of person people eventually will recognize. You know, let them see the intelligent young man, the Christian young man, the well-mannered young man. Let them see that. Make them see that. And if they can't, then that's their problem, not yours. And that's probably that's one of the top 10 lessons that my father taught me, and he taught me quite a few. He taught me that if people can't see the good in you, make them see it or forget about it. You don't need those people in your life. But the really quality people that you are going to meet throughout your life, they will see it. Focus on them. That was one of the things. And I also, this is a big lesson that I learned once I started college. I learned, let me tell you what happened. For some reason, and I still have no idea to this day how it happened, in the space of about 3 weeks, I lost 85 pounds.
Wow.
It just fell off. Yeah, it just fell off. I wasn't dieting especially. I was no more active than I ordinarily would be. And I guess the answer I always give is my fat got tired of me and left. And I went from 265 pounds down to about 175.
Wow.
And it happened so quickly. My father always told me he could see me melting. And I'm thinking, this is great. I mean, I could pay for something as good as this, you know. And as soon as I got down to a normal, quote-unquote, normal size, I went out, I bought my first couple pairs of designer jeans. I bought all the fashions that I could not even think about wearing before. And it was during this time that I started noticing a difference in the way people approached me. The young ladies were talking to me a lot more. Even the ones that I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to, it was just, you know, it was it was okay, it was acceptable to be seen mm-hmm. talking to me. And that's when I got really angry, because mm-hmm. it occurs to me that I've, just like my father said, I'm the same man I've always been. I'm just smaller. And if all you're worried mm-hmm. about is my waistline, then I really don't need to bother with you.
Mm.
The other good thing that happened during that time is that I met the girl who would later become my wife. And that was an exciting time for me. I never spent time with a young lady like this, you know, where she really wanted to be with me, wanted to go out with me, wanted to be seen in public with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was unusual for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if there is a drawback to that, it was that she's a gourmet cook.
Oh my!
When she was a young girl, her aunt told her that there were two ways that a girl can keep a young man's interest. And the way they were going to explain to her was food. And they said, you got to get in there and bang the pots if you want to keep him interested in you. There's mm-hmm. a lot of pretty mm-hmm. girls, but they can't all cook. So she took that to heart, and she ran with it. Mm-hmm. She invited me over for dinner. And the first time she invited me over for dinner, she served me roast beef, fried chicken, baked chicken. She had mashed potatoes. She had rice. She had gravy. She had rolls. She had bread. She had green beans. Because they also told her you have to serve a variety of foods. It literally looked like a buffet.
Oh.
And I was sitting at the table, and she came out with the serving platter, and she put it in the, down on the table in front of me, disappeared back mm-hmm. into the kitchen. And she came out with this little saucer, and she set it in her place and sat down. And I said, I'm sorry, honey, where's mine? And she said, that's it right there. The serving tray?
Mm-hmm.
That's not mm-hmm. a serving tray. Silly, that's your plate. And and I didn't want to be rude, so I mm-hmm. ate everything that she put on my plate. And from that point on, I very, very happily put back all the weight that I had lost, and probably a bit extra.
Uh-huh.
But it's okay. But it was okay because I had her, and
mm-hmm.
she let me know that she was interested in the kind of man that I was and would continue to be. The weight
mm-hmm.
wasn't an issue with her when it crept up and crept up and crept up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that lesson was there are going to be people in your life that are not going to be swayed by your physical appearance. I mean, everyone wants to look nice. Everyone wants to be as healthy as possible. But in her eyes and in the eyes of other people that I met later, fat wasn't an indictment of you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that she was the kind of person I needed to have in my life, and she's still here.
Right, exactly. There are clearly elements of social relevance throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
You touch on the subjects of self-acceptance and loyalty in the midst of adversity, and you've got some other things in there. Why was it important to include these elements in your book? And we've got like 5 minutes left, or maybe 3 minutes left to this interview. I've got some things that I need to cover with you. I know it's 30. But let's get in as much as we can.
Okay,
but talk about those.
Here we go. You ready?
Those social relevance elements. Yes.
All right. I'll knock it out as quick as I can. Here we go. In terms of self-acceptance, it's like my father said, you have to be more concerned with the type of person you are than the type of the size that people see. Yes, it is important to be healthy, but it's more important to be a good person. There are a lot of very good-looking psychopaths out there. Mm-hmm. It's more important that you, it's more important that you're a benefit to your community than just something nice to look at. That's one thing. Loyalty. There are people, there's one person in the book, and I won't go into a lot of detail because, as you said, we don't have a lot of time, but there was one person in the book whose weight had ballooned to 900 pounds. And as tragic as that is, his wife stayed with him the entire time. Mm. She never left him. She basically gave up everything else that she loved to do to be with him, to help him. And he saw her as the as one of the greatest gifts that God has ever bestowed on a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by loyalty in adversity. Mm-hmm. You got to know that when you marry somebody, they're there through whatever you've got going on, good and bad and whatever. And that's very much like I see my wife. Her name is Aileen. I see her that way. And it kind of makes you want to do everything you can for this person. The thing that I want to bring up is middle-aged sex lives. If on television, you wouldn't think that people continue to have loving relationships after the age of 45. They do.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to kind of show that, too, because, you know, there are – I wanted to let people know that all the fun part of marriage doesn't stop once you get to be middle-aged. It keeps going for as long as you keep going. And finally, there is an anti-shaming message. There's a little boy in the book named Eugene. And hopefully the listeners will pick up the book and they'll see what I mean. Eugene was basically me. He was a heavy kid, and all the other kids make fun of him. And Mark and Alicia, the stars of the book, don't allow their children to join in, which is very important. People have to understand that while they can't stop people from bullying their children, or, you know, or other children that they see, they can make sure that their children don't participate. It's important that you raise good people. You don't want to raise someone who enjoys making someone else's life hell. You want to be an enhancement to your community, not a hindrance to it. And those are some of the relevant issues that I wanted to share with the readers.
Right. Those are very relevant issues. Basically, I particularly like all of them, but the one that struck me was the one about, you know, basically what you're saying is don't raise a bully, is what you're saying.
Wayne, what
I want to know in this last little bit of time we have, do you have any book signings coming up? I saw that you were very busy over the summer, but do you have any book signings coming up where people can come out and hear you read and meet you and buy the book directly from you?
I have the next one that I have scheduled at the moment is not until February. At the Rochester Hills Library, but I'm always looking for other engagements, and as they become available, I will be posting them on my website, on Facebook, on Twitter. I will be letting everyone know when I'm having these talks, and of course, if anyone listening is interested in arranging such a talk, I am always open to it.
And give your website right quick.
All right. I'm at WayneABibbs.com, all one word. And on Twitter as WayneBibbs. And there's a page on Facebook, Catalyst WayneBibbs. That's my
wonderful
Facebook page just for the book.
All right. Well, WayneABibbs, thank you so much for being on Michigan Literary Network Radio. I am so glad we got a chance to talk.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
Okay, you are welcome. Good night.
Good night, now.
And that's it for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you for being there, and tune in next week for more good literary stuff. Good night.